Shalom, everybody. Thank you very much for having me today. I want to discuss some questions which come up over Hanukkah. Interesting, reactive questions. I want to ask the Olam what they think of some of these questions. Let's just give a quick introduction to the mitzvah of lighting menorah. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Aleph is the first introduction, as far as I know, to this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of the Rabbanon to be mefarsim the nes, to publicize the nes of the oil, which was that the Bnei Yisrael, after they managed to ward the Greeks away from the Beis Hamikdash, they found one flask of Tohar Shemen, which they lit for at least, it would last one night, and it lasted for 8 days, 8 entire days, so we had 7 days extra from this oil. Now, how do we commemorate this mitzvah? So that this nes, how do we publicize this nes to the rabbin? So the Shulchan Aruch on top of Ayin Aleph Zif Aleph says that we light one single wick. The Gemara says that we add one candle every single day. First night we light one, second night we light two, and so on and so forth for 8 nights. We light one single wick candle for each night. We should light a shamash so we don't end up benefiting from the lights in an osser way. We need to make sure that the lights can last for at least half an hour. We should not light in a place where there's rain and there's wind, in order that the candle can light at the time that we light for half an hour. We should light in a place that people can see it, and we should light at the time of Shkia or Seis, depending on the minhag of the person and the place where he finds himself. Now, can I be Makai in this mitzvah with an electric menorah? Let's say I picture the scene, I arrive at a hotel and there's a big signs all over the place saying no naked flames, offenders will be prosecuted, and other dangerous, scary sounding words like that. How do I light candles when I'm in this hotel on my Hanukkah getaway? How should I be Makai in this mitzvah? Can I purchase a menorah with 1 day delivery online, same day delivery, and light using an electric menorah to avoid prosecution, at the same time avoid being over?
It's foolish, you're not yet to an electric. It's not a
Rabbanan
it's not a obviously done for the sake of.
So let's go through what the Poskim have to say. It's very, very interesting. The Kaf HaChayim, straight off the bat, in Tofresh Ayin Gimel, Sifkot and Yid Tes, this is the earliest Makor I could find for a discussion about using an electric menorah. He says that you can't use an electric menorah, and he brings three reasons as to why. First reason he brings is that the Zeichel HaNeis, the Chazal asked us to take a fuel and wick system and take a flame and light this candle. However, with electricity, we have light coming about without putting a flame to anything. It sort of comes into existence without us putting a flame to the candle. It's sort of like a flame without a tfisas mamish. There's no fuel and wick system. So that's one reason he's not happy there. It's not a proper Zeichel HaNeis. The Zeichel HaNeis was that a fuel lasted with a flame, putting a flame to a wick, and this has no fuel wick system. The second reason is quite similar to the first, as if I understood it correctly, is that the idea is that a man should light this flame. However, with a flick of switch, it's more indirect than actually taking a lit match or lit candle and putting it to another candle that the flame should catch. So the first reason being is that it's not the flame doesn't have a tfis on mamish, it's not a fuel and wick system. The second issue might be that it's sort of an indirect lighting of this candle through a switch. The third reason is that the ashoshis, the bulb which holds the light, is not similar to a single wicked candle. It sort of might be more similar to a madura bonfire, which the Shulchan Aruch says in Tofresh Ayin Aleph Sif Dalet. If you have a multiple wicked candle, it might be an issue of lighting. Not even you would say one candle if you light with a candle like that. It doesn't even count as one. So three reasons the Kaf HaChayim brings: it's not a proper Zeichel HaNeis, it's not a fuel and wick system, it's an indirect way of lighting. And the third reason, it's more like a Madura in the bulb. You can't really distinguish one single wick in a bulb. If you look at these, this is a prime example. It just looks like a big square of light, which you can't really distinguish one single flame. Now, Shlomo Zalman in Sefer Me'orei Esh, Perek Hei Oth Beis, he adds in another two reasons as to why electricity might not be okay. He says that in an electric circuit, there's not enough shemen, not enough fuel in an electric circuit at any one time to last more than half an hour. When you plug something into the mains, there's a constant flow of electricity. If you plug it out, it switches off immediately. So within your bulb, as it were, there's not enough fuel to last half an hour, so that might be another issue of using electricity. A fifth reason that Shlomo Zalman adds on was that the nace was with oil that was a finite fuel and it lasted for an infinite amount of time. However, electricity, which seems to go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, that is not a proper emulation of the nace, which was a finite fuel which we imitate with a half an hour's worth or more, but it doesn't last forever, whereas electricity can seemingly go on and on and on.
You use a battery then, a battery is very
important. Oh, so we're gonna come on to batteries. I saw a hand up at the back.
I don't know if the electric flame, the electric rocket, not enough. It would be very.
So I'm going to come on to that as well. Let's talk about what happens if you have no choice. If you have no choice, if Shlomo Zalman writes there that you're able to light and make a bracha on electricity so long as it's battery powered and it's got enough electricity within the battery to last half an hour without plugging it in to charge. It also has to be that it's nikah that is for the nace. It has to be a menorah shaped item. So it wouldn't suffice just to switch on a torch in the window. No. You'd have to make sure that it was visible that it's for. Maybe you could get eight torches, or we could put a torch on eight stands that looks like a menorah. And then let's see, and I think he's bothered with what the gentleman at the back was bothered with, and he says even through a socket, even if you plug it into the mains, he says it's mutter to still make a bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you can make a bracha. Rav Tzion Abba Shor, as long as it's battery powered, Rav Tzion Abba Shor says you can make a bracha even if it's plugged into the mains. Rav Eliyoshiv says you're able to light even if it's not visible that it's for Chanukah. You can literally switch on the torch and put it on the in the window. He says it's not worse than if it's mokum takona that you have to light the menorah inside the house on the table, let's say. He says it's not. This is a situation where they're not letting you light, so you can light an electric torch in the window even if it's not visible that's for the nace. Just like in mokum takona, you can light a candelabra on the table even though it's definitely not visible that it's for the nace.
You do the same thing with the plane. So you do the same thing if you're flying in a plane.
Right, so a plane might be a different issue because you're not sleeping there, you're not eating there necessarily. You have to light in the place where you are near Ishu Besa, the place where your bias is. So a plane might run into issues. Let me take your idea, and let's say you have a menorah on top of your car and you have nowhere to stay and you're sleeping in your car. Maybe there's an idea that you can be say the mitzvah with a menorah on your car, park your car for half an hour, light up the menorah. Machlokes Poskim, if you can make a bracha, as we're going to see, Rav Nissim Koelet says that it's only a zechel and ace, not yotze the mitzvah, and you definitely should not make a bracha. I think lemaisa, the minhag olam is because it's a machlokes if you should make a bracha on this. The halacha is that I think is taken on in the Poskim is that one should not make a bracha on an electric menorah, even if it's with a battery, even if it's nikah that it's called nace. What happens if somebody lights in the hotel anyway, regardless? I don't care if I'm going to get prosecuted. I want to light a candle. Now, Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Rav Yosef Shalom Eliyashiv, they both understand that if somebody will see your menorah in the window and they'll come and put it out within half an hour, it's not worse than having, apart from the Choshen Mishpot Sugya, which I'm not going to go into whether it's Gezel or not, but even if you want just doing it, you light your menorah in a place you're not meant to, and people will come and put it out within half an hour of you lighting, it's not worse than having lit in the rain or the wind, where you're not Yotze, so it's not advisable. It might end up being a bracha levatola, so it's just, definitely not.
Just light in the room, not next to the window, so nobody else can see it.
Right, so if no one else will see it, and you can ensure that the room service won't come and put it out, maybe they've got hidden CCTV cameras, I don't know, or fire detection systems.
Smoke alarm.
Right, so without it could very well be a mitzvah b'aveira. I'm not in the Dionys Choshen Mishpat Sugya Sheboy. If it's a mitzvah b'aveira, I'm not sure. But I'm just coming to be ma'ira the question now. I want to move on to the next thing. There's an idea that Schopenhauer, Tofrisch Ein Gimel Sift Base, there's an idea that one, if at the time that you light the candle, that is when the mitzvah is mekuyem. Hadlokha osasah ha-mitzvah. So when you light the, when you put the flame to the candle, that is when the mitzvah is mekuyem. Now, the Ramah says, Tofresh Ayin Gimel Sif Aleph, that the best type of oil to use for your, the best fuel system for your candles is to have an olive oil cup, and you put a wick inside, and you light that up. That is your Zecher Nes, that is the mitzvah min hamuvcha to use olive oil. Now, in some shops, there's wax covered wicks, these red wicks that are very popular, they're covered in wax. Now, if hanukkah also some mitzvah, at the time that you put the lit match or candle to the candle itself, then what are you lighting? At the time that you're lighting, you've got oil in the cup, but at the time that you put the candle to the flame, lighting Hanukkah candles, we've actually lit a wax fueling system. So how can we be mekayem the mitzvah and amavcha? Is this an issue? This is also a very...
What's the difference between that and lighting wax candles?
Wax candles, you're yotze, but you're not yotze mitzvah min hamavcha. The Ramah says that the best thing to light is olive oil, but when if you're using,
so
let's
the
say,
question here
wicks,
is, you're not yotze min hamavcha.
So you're not yotze min hamavcha. Are you ever yotze min hamavcha? Is there any idea to buy to open up your purse and buy olive oil, or should you just not bother and use wax only? Because either way, you're going to be lighting wax.
Or use cotton wicks. Or use the cotton wicks.
Or use I don't have cotton wool at home.
You buy them. You buy them ready made.
they're not available in the shop. What should I do? Well, it's too late, the shops are closed. What should I do? Well, I'm in a faraway country and I've only got these floating wicks with me. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Halicha Shlomo Perek Tesvav, he asked this question, and he says that since the wax melts immediately, often even before you finish lighting it, before you move the candle away, he says, as if you've lit with Shannon, you don't have to worry about it. Also, another idea that's brought there is that very often the psila on the wax are considered one big wick. When you light, for example, let's say you have cotton wicks, we don't say that you've lit a cotton system, you've lit a cotton wick in oil. So over here, because the wax is part of the wick, so we don't say that you've lit wax, we say that you've lit a wax slash cotton, a combination wick in oil, so you don't have to worry about it. Whenever you light any wick, the first thing to start burning is always the wick, so you don't have to worry about that. The reason I believe as to why these wicks are wax covered, it's not for nothing. There could be an idea that if the top of the wick splays and ends up like this, it might be considered lighting a Maduro, in which case you're not yotze at all. So it's actually a very good service that they're doing to make sure that the wick is nice and tight at the top. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman and also the Sheva Halevi, for these two reasons, they don't mind. They say it's not a problem. The Chut Shani says, another reason to be Mekel is since the whole light, even though the lighting actually does the mitzvah, but since the whole time, the whole half hour is misyachas to this putting the flame to the candle, in which case it's as if you've lit with shemen. But since it's going to be burning for half an hour with shemen eventually, since at the time you put the flame to the candle, that's when you do the mitzvah. But because this mitzvah is sort of direct, this moment is with a half an hour behind it. So in which case, it's absolutely fine. He says if you want to be machmir, then you should light it, put it out, and then light it again, the shem mitzvah chanukah, and then with a bracha, and then you're well away, you're scot-free. The Ne'er Tzion is actually machmeh. He says you should take off the wax before you put it in. He's choshesh. My mashgiach, Rabbi Minkus from Yeshivas Beis Yisrael, he says that a good idea is to dip them in oil or to pour the oil over them before you light, in which case you'll actually be lighting an olive oil covered wick, and in which case you're absolutely fine. Now, we've mentioned that the hadlokha does the mitzvah, and we also said that you have to light in a place where it's fitting for the menorah, that the menorah will last for half an hour, the candles will stay lit for half an hour. Now in Eretz Yisrael there's a minhag, but minhag is to light outside, very often with weather that's quite windy. And to combat this, they light in a glass box. Now, if at the time that you do the lighting, that's when the mitzvah is mekuyam, that means at the time that you light, the candles have to be in that present matziv, have to be lit for half an hour. Now, if you're lighting using a glass box, you have to open the door in order to light the candles. Now, if you open the door and you light the candles and you walk away, the candles will go out. So if you've got a glass box, you open the door, now you want to light your candles, you're lighting in a matziv, put the candles in a matziv, where now they will not last for half an hour, even though you close the door afterwards. By the time that you light, the candles will, and in the situation that the candles are in where you light, let's say it's raining and it's windy, the candles will not last half an hour. So should I be going over to all these people with glass boxes and knocking them over and saying you're not yotzei the mitzvah? Or is there some way around this problem? What do the olam think? Any suggestions?
If there's no wind, it will burn. If there's no wind, it would have got a massive wind, it would blow it out. We're not going to give it to
the if I open the door,
it won't blow out. I mean, unless you've got a strong wind.
Let's say there's a thunderstorm at the moment.
They still light. You can light, you mean? That's the.
Yeah, the time that you light.
Well, like you said before, it was raining. Can you light when it's raining?
That's my question.
Yeah, same question.
Right, so
why can't you close the box after you've made the bracha?
Well, we said that the hadlokah does the mitzvah. That the hadlokah, at the time that you light, that's when the mitzvah is mekuyim. So at the time that you light, you have to have all conditions fulfilled, including the idea that it has to be able to light for half an hour. But when you light and the door's open, it will not last half an hour.
Yeah.
That's the question.
The person standing there protects the candles from the wind, and then when he leaves, he just replaces himself with a glass.
That's an idea brought. We're going to see some ideas as to how this is okay. It definitely is okay. We're going to see how it is. The Shulchan Aruch Hoggis says you're only not yotzei if the candles do go out. Even if you light in a place where it's very possible they might go out. If they don't go out, you're still yotzei. So when you close the door, they haven't gone out, and they're not going to go out now. So you're mekayem the mitzvah. There are those who disagree. They, under Rav Chaim and Rav Nissim, for example, Rav Nissim Karelitz, they understand that you're not yotzei or mitzvah, since in this situation it's very likely that they will go out if you were to leave the doors open. So they have other ideas as to how. They say that if you do this, and you leave them in a place where the wind would likely put them out, and it doesn't, you're still not yotzei. You should put them out and light again in a place that it will, like they say, it's felt in the etzem hadlokta. The Maharal Diskin and the Briska Rav, they developed a new type of box that you could put your hand in from the bottom and light without opening any doors, in which case you're lighting in a place where the wind and rain will not put it out. Most people don't have these sorts of box. The Shut Shamas Chaim says that since you're lighting on condition to close the door, and if it goes out, you will light it straight away, the candles aren't considered in a situation as if they won't last half an hour. Because there's a human interacting, it's not like you've left them in the wind and left it to his own devices. There's a human there watching over it, making sure that it's going to stay lit. In which case, even though you're lighting the situation where it might go out, because there's a human there, that negates the idea that it will go out. In which case, you're able to be mekayim the mitzvah. The Shut Har Tzvi brings in a similar idea, since it's in your yodayim, you're therefore to close the door, it's in your capabilities to stop the wind. In a normal situation, it's not in your capability to stop the wind or wind. But over here, since you're closing the door, you can as if stop the wind, then it's as if you haven't lit in a place that it's going to be windy. Rav Eliyoshev and Rishon Zalman also like this idea. Rav Nissim Karelitz says, like what this gentleman wanted to say, that when you light, you should block the entrance of the box with your body, and when you finish lighting, you can replace your body with the doors, in which case you haven't actually lit at all in a mokum of the wind or the rain, because your body was there, and then your body was replaced by the doors. Eliyoshev brings an idea, even though he said it's okay if you close the door afterwards, he says what you should do is get a very, very long match or a long candle, open the door a tiny bit and insert the candle through the door and light like that with only a tiny crack. It will last half an hour. Again, this is only a chumrah. He holds me'ikah din, it's okay so long as it doesn't go out. Now, I want to ask another question. This is this rustled some people up. There's an idea in Mishnah Berurah Siman Tzadi, Sif Kotan Ayin Aleph, and Hilchos Tefillah. There's also to daven opposite a mirror, because it looks like you're davening you're bowing down to your own reflection. Now, very often we move the curtains out of the way for our candles because it's a fire hazard, and we end up with a reflective window. Is a reflective window the same as a mirror that's opposite to daven across from? The answer is yeah. The Orchestra Rabbeinu, the stipler, was was Machmir, and he used to tell people off for davening opposite a window at night because it was very reflective. He himself was Machmir even during the day to open the windows before he started davening. Now, is there a problem of making a bracha opposite a reflective window? The Mishnah Berurah says that even more. He says that during davening, it's only a problem that it looks like you're bowing down to yourself if you've got your eyes closed. If you've got your eyes open, in addition to the fact that you're bowing down to yourself, you've also got someone right opposite your face, being yourself, and it's distracting. Is it a problem of chesaron kavono, or is it a chesaron of looking like you're davening to yourself, to make a bracha in front of a dark window? Now, I can see a few frowns in the room. What does the Eidon think?
You're not davening, you're just making a bracha. What about Torah Shem? You make a bracha Torah
Shem. Right, so does it apply to brachas as well, you're saying? You're saying maybe it doesn't. So I don't think it does apply to brachas.
It does not apply.
In Siman Kuf Beis, the Mishnah Berurah talks about if you have somebody standing in front of you, be it somebody else, or maybe even yourself, or someone sitting in front of you, it could be a problem of looking like you're bowing to yourself, or it could be a problem of if someone's right opposite you, look, it takes away your kavanah.
But in shul, you've got someone standing in front of you, what's the difference?
Because they're facing away. If they're standing in front of you. If they're facing you,
even if they're not facing you, it's still got someone in front of you.
Right, so it's only near a kemishtacha velai, the Mishnah Berurah says, if they're sitting down. If there's someone sitting down in front of you, they should be moving. If they're within Daladamas, they shouldn't be sitting in front of you if you're unsure. As far as I'm aware, it's not an issue to make a bracha in front of a reflective window. Now, it's very good for everybody to try and, as much as they can, to get a nice menorah. Next question I want to go on to. As far as I'm aware, Reish Chof Gimel Sif Gimel, if you buy a new kelim, the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says you can make Sheikh Yonis. If you buy yourself a nice new menorah, as far as I'm aware, you can make a bracha. Kaf HaChaim says there's 15 types of menorah. I'm going to say them in descending order of Hidur Mitzvah. You've got gold, then silver, second one silver, third one copper, which looks like gold, fourth one is normal copper, fifth is iron, sixth is tin, seven is lead, eight is glass, nine is wood, ten is bone, 11 what's it called, the elephant tusk?
Ivory.
11 is coated earthenware, china, 12 is normal earthenware, and 13 is the peel of a pomegranate, 14 is the peel of a coconut, 15, the lowest level, is a conker shell. Carve a conker, empty it out, fill it with oil, and stick your wick in there. Now, let's say everybody here, most people, a lot of people like to light with silver, but there seems to be a custom to put these glass cups on top of your menorah, and you fill those with oil, and you light with those. Is that considered lighting with glass or lighting with silver? If it's lighting with glass, you're closer to lighting with a pomegranate shell than you are to lighting a gold menorah. Right, so I didn't see anybody who disagrees with the Sheva Halevi, who says that the glass cups on top of the menorah, they are bottled to the menorah. Adarabi says that the glass cups that stop the menorah becoming dirty is actually might be a hidden mitzvah in the menorah to keep the menorah from getting dirty, and therefore it's absolutely fine. Now, one last question I want to go into, which is, this really got me into trouble with my friends and family. Siman Ayin Hey, there's a halacha over here. I'm going to read it to you. Sif Gimel. Siman Ayin Hey, Sif Gimel. Yesh lezoha mishmias kol zeme eshesh. Be careful from hearing a lady singing. B'shas kriyashma, when you dab, when you're saying Shema. The Ramah says, afilu be'ishto, even with your wife. Now, the minhag after lighting candles to say Haneiros Halalu and to say Ma'ez Tzor, is there an issue if your family members sing with you? Let's say your daughter, or your sister, or your mother, or your Rebbetzin. Is there an issue for them to be singing Ma'ez Tzor with you? Is Ma'ez Tzor similar to Kriya Shema, where you have to be careful from hearing... So it's Shabbos Miros as well, is there an issue? Shalom Aleichem, Eishes Chayil. Can the ladies of the family, can they sing? I know the ladies very much like singing Eishes Chayil. Can they? I'm going to go through what I saw in order of what I saw, and we'll hopefully get through everything. The Kovetz to Shuvas in Gimel Os Yud, quote Rav Eliyashiv, to be saying that also to say the Oram Shefer Gedusha at the time that your wife or your sister are singing, and you should not sing with them as Miras Shabbos. Also, Rav Nissim Karelitz was machmir. The Chazon Ish says that if your sister is singing, it's also to say Kriya Shema, and if her singing brings you the day, hear her, makes you think of inappropriate things, then it's also an issue to hear your sister singing. Rav Shlomo Zalman Rebach says we're makel as Miras Shabbos. But stand to hear the voice of your sister or your mother, or that's not. Eino Nochen, he says. This is not what I saw in Rabbi Falk's Sefer Oitzvah Hodolavush on page 500. He writes like this. There are families that sing Shir HaMalas and Bibis HaMozin all together. And he says that since they're close family and there's not so much here, you can apply the concept of Trei Koli Lo Mishtoi, the two voices at the same time heard. That's from the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph. And also there's a Tosfos in Sotah, he says, on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, which seems to imply that when you sing yourself, Trei Koli Lo Mishtoi, that you would be able to hear two voices. It's only if you're not one of the voices, but if you're one of the voices, then there's more room to be makel. He says it's all in the same of Rebbe Eliashib, who Rebbe Eliashib in Kohet Shuvas is quoted to be Machmir. Rabbi Falk quotes the Sefer Imre Shefer, who quotes Eliashib being makel. I also saw Rabbi Eliashib being makel from a certain Rav in Eretz Yisrael. I was told that he heard from Rabbi Eliashib that Rabbi Eliashib was makel. Rabbi Falk gives an eitz tova, because not everybody agrees that it's okay. Rabbi Falk gives an eitz tova that the balon, the husband and the sons, they should sing louder than the ladies. They should sort of drown them out. There are those that are machmir in most situations, being Rav Moshe Feinstein and Sitz Eliezer and Oz Nibiru are machmir that. Now, Rabbi Falk writes that if the ladies are harmonizing, you can't apply the concept of Trei Koli Lo Mishtoi, that you can't hear two voices, because they're specifically singing in a different way, in which case he holds most poskim are machmir if the ladies are harmonizing. Now, but Rabbi Eliashib brings an idea where most poskim are makel, which I think is applicable to our case. He says that zmiris that don't have Hashem's name, such as Moiz, Zor, and Haneiros Halalu, then you can be more makel. And he brings a raya from Moda Ani, which you're able to say opposite your negelbas of water, which you're not supposed to say Divrei Torah Keneged. He says if it doesn't have Shem Hashem, it's sort of a lower level of Kedusha, in which case you don't have to worry. If it is Shem Hashem, it's a big machlekes. If the ladies are harmonizing, it's definitely more of an issue. But if it's not Shem Hashem, the ladies are singing with, and the husbands and the brothers and the sons are drowning out the ladies, as it were, then it's no problem. All this, he says, is specifically when there's immediate family members, but if there's distant family or strangers at the table, then the ladies should not sing in audible voice. He says they can sing very, very quietly so that no one can sing, can hear them. Otherwise, Rabbi Falk says that the ladies should not sing in any of the other... he also mentions that if somebody doesn't have a minhag to be makel that they can sing Zmir Shabbos, they should not start. Unless you have a strong family minhag that the ladies can sing with the men, then they should not.
But you've got Shem Hashem though in Shabbos and Shabbos.
Not all of them do you have Shem Hashem.
Not all of them, but some of them.
Some of them. Like Shalom Aleichem doesn't have Shem Hashem. No. Unless you hold Shalom as
Shalom is Aosh's name.
Right. Yeah. So those that hold that Shabbos is a Shem Hashem as well. So then you're really messed up. So here we go. I'll go through a quick Hazara.
And is it an issue?
Pardon?
Listen to a woman singing on the radio.
Right, so this is a big machlekes poskim. I'm going to say al regel achas, that is best avoided. You speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. Well, I can give you a more detailed rundown if you'd like after the shir. Here we go, Hilchos Chanukah. Let's go through a very quick chazor of everything. We've got an idea that we light one candle, two candles, three candles as the nights go on. There's an idea to light one single wick candle. You should light a shamash to avoid light using the candles in an osa way. You should make sure the candles can light for half an hour at the time that you do light them, not with the wind and the rain and with enough fuel. You should light in a place that people can see it, at shkia or tzeis, depending on your minhag or where you are in the world. Can you light with electricity? We brought five reasons to be machmir, either because there's no tefisas mamoshes, so you're not putting a flame to a wick. The way you light electricity is with a switch, which is more indirect than putting an actual flame to the candle. There's another idea that the bulb looks like a bonfire rather than a single candle. A fourth reason is because there's not enough electricity in the circuit at any one time to last half an hour if you were to unplug it. And also the nace was with a shemen, which was finite, and electricity can seemingly go on forever. The shas hadchak of Rev Shlomo Zalman says, as long as it's nikah, that's for Chanukah, and that it's battery power that can last at least half an hour, with its battery, you can make a bracha. Rav Tzion Abba Shaul says even if it's in the mains, you can make a bracha. But Eliyahu says even if it's not nika, that you can be yotzei the mitzvah. Rav Nissim Kerelitz disagrees and says it's only a zecher anes, and you cannot make a bracha, and you definitely are not yotzei the mitzvah. There is an idea that if you do light the candles even when you're not supposed to, and someone might come along and put it out within half an hour, we also mentioned that it's not worse than lighting in the wind, in which case you're not yotzei. Now, are the wicks that are covered with wax, the wax wicks, are they an issue? We've seen that it's the Rav Shlomo Zalman and the Sheva Halevi, the Chutshani, all seem to say that it's not a problem because the wax goes away so fast, or because the wax goes away so fast from the wick, or because the wick is and the wax are considered one thing. The Chutshani says that the lighting is considered is misyachas to the whole half an hour, and it's mainly olive oil. Somebody wants to be machmir can light them, blow them out, and light them again. The shame mitzvah Chanukah. The Neder Tzion is machmir. You should take off the wax before you light. Rabbi Minkus from Yeshivas Beis Yisrael says that you could dip the wicks into the oil before you light them. Lighting with a glass box, the chore you're lighting in the wind because the door's open at the time that you light them. So it's one idea that as long if the candles don't actually go out, then you're still yotzei, and the candles didn't actually go out, so you're yotzei. Others disagree. They say a different idea that you should either get a box that you can open without the door, you can put a long candle into the door. Since you're blocking it with your body, it's okay. And since you can control the elements with your doors, that's also absolutely fine. Right, next thing, we said that it's okay, I think, as far as I'm aware, it's okay to sing and make brachas opposite your reflection in the dark window. It's good for everybody to get a very nice menorah. You can make a shechion on your nice new menorah. Are the glass cups an issue? We've seen from the Sheva Halevi they're not, because they're bottled to the menorah. It might also help that the glass cups can't stand without the menorah, in which case they're definitely held up. That's more of a reason that to say that they might be bottled. Singing with your rebbe, so we've said definitely for more, so Hanir Sololi Rabbi Falk brings in Ozva Hadar Levush on page 500, that it's not an issue, so long as they're not harmonizing. Shkayach.
Very nice.